And let's go now to Reva Bala. She is director of geopolitical analysis at Stratfor, which is a private intelligence company in Austin, Texas. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And good morning on this Thanksgiving. I suppose that we're all trying to sort through the information here to try to figure out what's going on. What pieces of information seem significant to you?
A lot of things. You know, the situation is starting to come under control now, but really what we're looking at now is looking forward. How is the Indian government going to respond? One of the big things that we have to realize is that this was a huge, well-coordinated attack. It targeted Westerners, Israelis, other high-value targets, diplomats, corporate executives. It's not something that the Indian government is going to be able to step around like it's been able to in some of the more recent attacks.
What do you mean step around? You mean in the past they've kind of downplayed the significance of them?
Exactly. The ruling Congress party, you would have an attack, you know, even the 2006 Mumbai railway attacks. The Congress party would issue a condemnation, say something about links to Pakistan and condemn Pakistan for continuing to back militants, and then life would go on as usual. You would have literally days after the peace process, the planned peace process talks continue as planned, and life would go on. There wasn't any big reaction. However, this attack is totally different, very unprecedented, and something that the Indian government will have to react to.
And we have one claim of responsibility from a group that is unknown, I think, to most people in the West, Deccan Mujahideen. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, that's right. And really, we shouldn't obsess too much over the name. The Deccan Mujahideen is something that we haven't heard before, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a new group. The Islamist militant groups operating in India like to pop up under a lot of different names designed to sow confusion within the Indian security forces, also to give the impression that they're proliferating. What's more likely is that this is part of a larger outfit, Indian Mujahideen, which has been on the militant scene for a while now, and it's actually an outgrowth of some of the traditional groups, the Kashmir-related groups that we've seen in India operating for several years.
Now, you've already touched at one of the potential pieces of fallout from this because you mentioned Pakistan and Kashmir. Of course, India is in a long-running conflict with Pakistan, an Islamic country, over the future of that disputed province. We don't know that these attacks are connected in any way to Pakistan or to Kashmir, but it's interesting that you immediately have to wonder if this raises tensions between the two countries.
Yes, already there are some indications when they're bringing up the boats where the militants supposedly came by, some hints of Pakistani links. Either way, the Indian government can play up that link if it needs to respond. Whether it's done by the ruling Congress party or the government that succeeds it doesn't really quite matter so much. What matters is we have to look at the historical precedent for this in 2002 following the 2001 parliament attack in Mumbai. After that, we came to a near-nuclear confrontation on the border in which the U.S. had to intervene. That becomes really important now because the U.S. right now is in political transition, so it's a little bit questionable on how the U.S. will be able to react in case a crisis like this comes up again.
So what is the U.S. interest here?
The U.S. interest in here is basically not having a near-nuclear confrontation like we did back then, although there is some value of sorts in this attack in which the U.S. can use India as well to pressure Pakistan on the whole issue of Islamist militancy. Right now, of course, Pakistan has its hands full trying to battle a jihadist insurgency in Pakistan and Afghanistan. With the added pressure of India, just like in 2002, Pakistan may be more willing or will be more forced to cooperate in this realm.
Can I just ask very briefly, we've been talking about the potential political implications of this and the way that people might use this, and we don't even know precisely who committed the attack yet. Have India's authorities been any good at finding the perpetrators of attacks like this in the past?
Yes and no. I mean, you've seen some successes in the past where they've been able to round up a lot of cells and, you know, get information through their interrogations. The good thing, I guess, in this attack is that all these attackers came out in the open and were ready and willing to either die or get caught. So it's going to be easy to figure out the identity of the attackers. And so far, it looks like there seem to be some reports of them being Pakistani, more Kashmiri, along that realm. So we're looking most likely at Islamist militants. As far as, you know, tracking down the cells that are operating in India, obviously they were able to pull off this attack very well.
Reva Bala, thanks very much.
Thank you.
She's director of geopolitical analysis at Stratfor, which is a private intelligence company in Austin, Texas. This is NPR News.